I am an anomaly.
Anemone.
I am an anomaly.
A-S-O.
I am an anomaly.
Anomaly.
An anomaly.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hi, I'm Jen. I was raised on a healthy diet of Star Trek, Star Wars, and South Texas rodeos, and I am an anomaly. You're listening to the Anomaly Podcast, a sci-fi and fantasy geek chat show hosted by women who walk the line, break the mold, and shun the labels. This unusual installment is full of first-hand experiences of the paranormal kind. I'll sprinkle my own stories in between some stuff that our friends have sent. I know you're busy and you really did us a solid by sending us stuff at the last minute. Thank you so much for the nightmares I'm sure to have after I turn this recorder off and go to sleep. Because some of your stories are really creeptastic. Thanks. Thanks for the nightmares. Hey, if you like our show, visit our website at anomalypodcast.com and check out the hundreds of sci-fi and fantasy episodes posted there. Just click on the categories in the drop-down at the top and go to town. If you're looking for a Halloween episode, you might like Anomaly Supplemental's most recent post, the one they put up yesterday, on Young Frankenstein. They've also covered the Ghostbusters movies, Little Shop of Horrors, and Essential X-Files episodes. Angela and I on Anomaly have covered Stranger Things, Shaun of the Dead, and I did a special episode on ancient mysteries and crystal skulls that you might find interesting. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. I mean, we're everywhere. You can also find our RSS and all the links to the places where you can subscribe to our show at anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. With that, I will begin the spooky episode. First up is our good friend, our BFF in real life, Stephanie. Take it away, Stephanie.
Hello, Jen and Angela. Hello, my friends. I've come today with at least one spooky ghost experience. When I was a child, about 12, 13 years old, so middle schoolish, almost high school, I grew up as a child with this doll in my bedroom that used to be my mother's, and we called it the Patty Doll, and Patty Doll was about three and a half foot tall. Her arms and her legs moved, and she was pretty old because she used to be my mother's. And she sat in a corner of my room, and I had long since stopped playing with her, but she was just like a part of the decoration in my room. Well, I started to notice when I would go to bed and wake up in the morning that she would be looking at me. Her head would be pointed towards my bed, and she would be watching me. And at first, it's like, whatever, okay. Well, one night before I went to bed, it kind of freaked me out. So I went over there, and I moved her head away to look away towards the wall, away from me. Then the next morning when I woke, she was looking at me. And I thought, well, I do have a kid brother. Well, my dad's been known to play pranks. Okay. So the next night, I did it again. And again the next morning, she was looking at me. So I decided to tell my parents that this was kind of freaking me out, and maybe if this was a joke that they would stop and it would go away and it would be no big deal because it's probably my brother, right? So I told my mom and dad, and okay. Well, my dad was normally one that would, like, wake me up if I was running late whatsoever. He'd come knock on the door. So the next morning, rituals for bed, my mom and my dad came in the room, and I'd show them, this is what I'm doing. I turned her head. Different direction. Wasn't the same time. Way every time, just in case there was some, like, tilt in the room, the gravity pushed her head, whatever. So they saw what I did, and I went to bed. The next morning, my father woke me. And he's like, don't look. Just stay here. I want you to know, Patty, we're taking her out of your room. And I knew she was watching me. I knew she'd be looking at me. And to this day, the Patty doll still exists. It's in my parents' home. And my mother still has that doll. And it never stays in anyone's bedroom or where anyone would be sleeping. It's just like in the living room. And it's just in the corner. Every once in a while, I swear, she's watching you.
Hello, Anomaly Podcast. This is Paul. I'm at Paulie Cote on Twitter. And my paranormal story is about my really crummy superpower. I can crash anything. And when I say anything, I mean anything. I have crashed a microwave oven. I have made a petrol pump repeatedly reboot. When it's time to pay at a supermarket, I have repeatedly crashed the chip and pin machine. It's a problem when you're a computer programmer, maybe. The other funny thing is that my mother-in-law cannot wear mechanical watches without them stopping. So I'm wondering if my daughter is going to be some kind of X-Man in the future, actually able to crash mechanical things and computer things. Although she hasn't shown any signs of that yet. So I am Paul. I'm an anomaly because I'm a software engineer that crashes everything.
So Paul has now passed the stick to me. Thank you, Paul. I have to say, I have a superpower as well that is simultaneously epically awesome and lame. I experience deja vu all the time, but one incident was way beyond deja vu, and it left me going, what the heck? I can predict this and not something like super important. Like I could have predicted, you know, the fall of the Twin Towers and instead I've seen this. What's the deal? Why do I see stupid things like this? So when I was in college, I was an art major, studio art major, with a specialization in painting. And I was in the art building downstairs late at night one evening. I spent a lot of late nights in the art studio painting. And in the metal studio, soldering and welding and all that stuff. But I was hungry. So I went downstairs to the snack machine. And right before I dropped my quarters into the machine to buy my bag of peanut M&Ms, it's hard to describe it because it happened so fast. And I wasn't even aware of whether I closed my eyes or if, you know, it just happened within a heartbeat. But it was vivid. I saw my thumb and my nail purple, like I had bent the nail back. And then, boom, back to reality, I was dropping the quarters into the machine. I made my selection. The candy package dropped to the bottom of the machine. I reached down into the slot to grab the bag of candy out of the slot, and my thumbnail jammed inside of the slot, bent backwards. And the next day, the thumbnail was purple. What did I say? Epically awesome. I had a premonition, but super lame. I predicted that I bent my fingernail backwards. How is that useful? I mean, it didn't even prevent me from hurting myself. Come on. Maybe I need to go find Professor X and get some training or something. Paul and I should go together because obviously we have these powers. They could be useful to humanity and they're currently lame. That's my premonition story. Passing the baton once again to someone else.
Hi, Jen and Angela. This is Meds from Waffle On Podcast, recording to you live from Lou in Cornwall, overlooking some beautiful sea and watching ships smashing into the rocks and causing even more ghost stories for later on in life. So my little ghost story is one that I told Jen about not long ago, and she asked me to re-record it and send it. About 20-odd years ago, probably longer than that, actually, 25 years ago, myself and my good friend Kev used to play in a cemetery, which is where my playground used to be. Not as weird as it sounds, I lived across from a cemetery for all my early years, and so for me it was, you know, a nice place to play. It was always quite peaceful. But we used to sneak in after, you know, the gates had been closed and it was night time. And there was this summer's day, it must have been around about 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and it was definitely summer because it was light, but there was a part of the cemetery which was old. And it was always very, very cold. No matter how hot the day was, this part of the cemetery would always be cold. And it had the crypts in there as well. So we used to kind of like, you know, put our hands into the small slitty windows and see if anybody would grab you. But at least one time he was just walking around. Well, we didn't even do much, just used to hang out. And we saw this small patch of land in the middle of the road, which we call islands over here, small little roundabouts. And there was a family sitting on this island having a picnic. But their picnic mainly consisted of bananas. Now, this might sound weird, and it was weird. But they were dressed in what looked like almost Victorian-style working-class clothing, flat caps, rolled-up shirts, big boots, that kind of stuff, as if they'd be working down a mine almost. And anyway, we watched them for a bit, walked forward. I remember we crept towards them, and there was a man, a woman, and two children. And I say they seemed fairly oblivious until the man turned round, stopped, stood up, and just pointed. And it was a little bit like that scene at the end of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, where Donald Sutherland's character stands up, points, and open mouths, you know. And it was very weird. Anyway, because they suddenly noticed us, Scarpa returned and ran and was running through the cemetery, and I kept looking back. I could see the man standing there pointing at us, so I knew he hadn't moved. My mate Kev was ahead of me and he was running pretty darn quick, and suddenly as I turned my head back round to follow Kev, the same man stepped out from behind a tree in front of us. Now, there's no way he could have got there. There's no way he could have got in front of us because, as I say, I kept looking back and I could see him standing there just pointing. Now, yes, it could have been the fact that the guy had a twin, and that's, you know, he's an easy explanation. But he was dressed exactly the same, looked exactly the same. So, you know, as I say, it could be a twin. But it was very, very, very spooky, very weird. And of course, we both saw him and we both kind of screamed and then ran in the opposite direction. And I turned around again to look and I could see where the family was eating, and they'd gone and the bloke had gone as well. Now, I'd like to turn around and say that we ventured back to have a look and see what had happened and what was going on. But we didn't. We ran out for the gap in the cemetery gates, jumped down a small ravine onto the canal towpath, which ran next to the cemetery, and carried on running. I didn't really say anything much about that. And funny enough, it wasn't until me and Jen was talking only a couple of weeks ago that I told about this. I then brought it up with my mate Kev, who also hadn't really thought much about it. And then we both had a good laugh remembering it. But it was very weird. It was very spooky. As I say, they were dressed in Victorian clothing. And it was it a ghost? Were they ghosts? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But it scared the hell out of us anyway. Anyway, that's my little story. I hope you like it. And I'll speak to you all soon. Bye-bye.
Hello, Anomalies. This is Rico from the Treks in Sci-Fi podcast, and happy Halloween to all of you. So, Jen, Angela, people at Anomaly are going to do this special spooky story, ghost story or something, whatever Halloween-related scary stories, I think, that you have. And I have a couple of them. Halloween's always been a big holiday for me. I've always loved it. Dressed up as a kid, dressed up as an adult. And so I enjoy it quite a bit. A couple of things came to mind about that. And I may have said these on my podcast before, but one of them, I used to do a little bit of babysitting when I was in high school for kids that, you know, younger kids and that we knew and neighbors and friends and stuff. And I can remember specifically one, it was around Halloween time, October-ish, end of October. I don't think it was on Halloween exactly, but I was babysitting for a couple of kids nearby, and, you know, it was a pretty, you know, as October in the Midwest, if you're from this area, or you know, it's the weather can be kind of nasty and windy. It was super windy the last few days here. And I was babysitting. It was kind of a little bit rainy, windy, cold out, and very, very foreboding, let's call it. And so, you know, you hear all this wind and things banging against the windows of the place. And so, of course, silly me, teenage, you know, watching a scary movie on television while all this was going on outside. The kids are asleep, and it was like a two-story house, and the kids were asleep upstairs. And I decided to watch Night of the Living Dead. So for those that know that movie, it's a zombie movie, probably one of the first zombie movies, if not the first. And it's not really the best movie to probably be watching while you're babysitting and so forth. But and it may have been the first time I actually watched the whole thing through, although I don't know if I watched it all that night. But, you know, there's a part in that movie where they're trapped in this house, this farmhouse kind of place, and the zombies are banging on the doors. And so I'm watching this thing, and I started to like get, I don't know if it was my imagination or if it was the wind outside or whatever, but I started to thought I heard people, something banging on like the door. And you know, I'm peeking out the window and I've got the TV going and you know, I keep looking and I'm like jumping out of my skin practically as you know, and I don't even think about like, maybe I should just turn this movie off, you know, now and watch like a comedy or something. Of course, I don't do that. I'm just watching this thing and it's getting, you know, bad. I keep hearing this noise and I think it was a branch or something banging against the window, but, and then eventually, you know, it just, I think I turned off the TV. I don't know if I got to the end of the movie even, I can't remember, but, long time ago anyway. And then of course the next day everything seems fine and I'm looking around. This was a house nearby and I'm like, what was that? You know, and I'm trying to see, and I think I see some like scrapes near the door, but I don't know if it was something that flew against the door or branch or whatever, or what was trying to get in. I'm not sure. Maybe it was a zombie. I don't know. But so there's my, I don't know if it's really a ghost story, but there's my kind of scary story, or one of them, from growing up back in the day, as they say. So hey, happy Halloween, everyone. Have a great time. Enjoy it. Don't eat too much candy. And I'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
Hi, Jen and Angela. This is Rick Moyer. Amy's around here somewhere. I don't know where she went. I'm sitting here with my cat, Stripey, right now, and I asked him if he had any paranormal experiences. He just purred at me and looked at me. So I will tell you about one of my most recent ones. I've encountered lots of different spirits in my lifetime, and I have stories and stories and stories, but this in particular happened the other night when I was filming for the radio station that I work at, Kix 95.3. The morning team decided to go ghost hunting in a old armory building that's now a museum in Aberdeen. And we went ahead and met there in the evening on a Friday, the 21st, and I had a night vision camera that I borrowed from a friend. And we went ahead and walked through the museum with the curator with all the lights off. We had a, what do they call it, EMF detector and a frequency modulator that we could listen to all the different frequencies and stuff. And we went ghost hunting. Hour and a half, 2 hours or so, and out of that time, We got about 4 seconds of where we had some type of activity. It was really eerie. We actually heard a little girl's voice. And then the one that we didn't catch, which is the most weird, is we were upstairs looking at old dresses that from the turn of the century. And one of the co-hosts, Logan, asked if there was any chance that she could go ahead and try these dresses on. And when she said that, weird voice said no. And I couldn't believe it. We didn't actually hear the voice until after we went back and looked at the footage. And we had two cameras rolling, and both cameras picked up the sound, but we did not hear it at the time. Kind of made the hair on the back of our neck rise up.
Is there anybody in here with us? Anybody at all? We're not here to scare you or frighten you or hurt you. We just want to know if you're here and want to know if you'll talk to us.
Do you like Dave?
Yeah.
Do you like Dave?
Yeah.
Do you like Dave?
Yeah. That was a yeah.
That was a yes.
That was a yeah.
Been several times I've taken a video in here, and all of a sudden I start seeing orbs flying around. Much like they're doing right now.
On your video?
Mm-hmm.
Orbs?
Orbs.
Where are they? It's like Pokemon Go.
I just saw one go between you and Phil, and one went under your seat.
So that's my latest ghost story and thing like that. So there you go. That's my experience. Thanks, you guys, for all you do. You have an awesome podcast, and we love you. And Amy would say hi, but she's looking at me.
Hi. I didn't know what he's doing, but...
We're talking about our latest ghost stories.
Okay, and who's this for?
This is for the Anomaly Podcast.
Hi, Angela. Hi, Jen.
All right, there you go. Thanks, guys. Happy Halloween.
I'm not the type of person that actively goes out looking for ghosts or wanting to be anywhere around them. I'm interested in it, but at arm's length, if you know what I mean. I don't want to be that person that carries the EMF detector and catches things on audio, because honestly, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to find out whatever I was messing with in a haunted house followed me home and decided to live with me forever. No freaking way. That's a little background on what I think of ghosts. I have one ghost story, one personal experience. I don't know what it was. I don't think it's as creepy as Med's story. His is pretty good. And it's definitely not as awesome as Rick's. But I think it's a different type of ghost story because they heard something. They saw something. I felt something. So with that, I'll start you off with some creepy Hollywood horror music to get the ball rolling. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Okay. My sister and brother and I used to do that when we tell each other creepy stories. I thought it only appropriate to do it here. So a little background before I get to the really creepy part, because the creepy part only lasts a few minutes. My wind-up is going to take longer than that. Just bear with me. I grew up on a farm, and my farm was not very far from my Nana's farm. We used to ride horses over there, and we'd go swimming. And then her farm was not very far from my aunt and uncle. And then across the road from my aunt and uncle was my papaw. But back in 1988, Hurricane Gilbert hit the Texas coast, and it spun off a bunch of tornadoes, some of which touched down in San Antonio and hit Air Force bases and several other places. Some of you people in San Antonio probably remember that. It also hit the rural communities surrounding San Antonio. One of them touched down near my house. I heard it. It didn't, thank God, hit my house, but it touched down, and I heard what sounded like, and I live in the Texas Hill Country now, and if you do, you know what I'm talking about, like a line of Harley Davidsons headed towards Wimberley, Texas, or Green, Texas, like that really loud kind of Harley parade going down the highway. That's what I heard. And then we found out a few minutes later, after a phone call was made to us, that that tornado that I heard had hit my Nana, it hit my aunt, and it hit my papa's house. Total devastation. They're all okay. But that was probably the point where my fear of tornadoes moved from just being that tornado in The Wizard of Oz that took Dorothy away, which to me was more terrifying than the Wicked Witch, but not quite as terrifying as the Flying Monkeys, but pretty bad. So it took my fear of tornadoes from Hollywood movies to reality. And so from there, I will tell you about my ghost story. 17 years ago, fast forward, I was probably mid-20s. I was a newlywed, and my husband worked at a cabinet company in a town just north of the city where we lived and where I worked. And he called me and said, "Jen, there's a tornado. It just touched down. It hit our building. I'm fine, but it's headed your way. You need to find some cover." So I go into flying monkey mode. There are flying monkeys coming at me, and I'm looking everywhere for a place to hide, right? Because our office is on the second floor, and there are plate glass windows, big, tall, antique windows with the wavy glass, super cool, in this building. It used to be an old Coca-Cola bottling plant, and they renovated it after it burned down and made it into like an office complex, a really cool, hip, industrial office complex. So I'm telling my office workers, or my coworkers, and my friends who are with me in the building, who also have companies, I'm like, "Tornado coming. We need to find some cover. Let's go." You know, and they're like, "Oh, we're going to be fine." I'm like, "We're upstairs. Upstairs. Big windows. Glass. Glass cuts people up in tornadoes. We're hiding. Let's go." No one comes with me. And to tell you the truth, this is a recurring nightmare that I have, where a tornado is coming. I see it touching down. It's gigantic. And I'm looking for cover, and nobody wants to go with me. So I go downstairs looking for a closet in the centermost part of the building. Yeah, you've guessed correctly. This is where the creepy thing comes into play. That's where you want to go, is in the centermost part of your building, away from windows, downstairs, surrounded by plenty of wall and preferably some pipe that can protect you from things that could come through walls. So I'm searching for that. When I open and enter a water heater closet. I know, it's scary, right? Water heater closets. It also has an electrical box, which could have put off some EMFs, which is an electrical field that some people are sensitive to. I've watched a lot of Ghost Hunters, that old TV show from the Sci-Fi Channel. I used to watch it until it creeped me out. So I go into this room, and I'm thinking, yeah, this could work. This could work. I'm the person who wants to save everyone. Let's get everyone into this small little water heater closet. And then I notice the hole in the floor at the back of the closet. And the closet's about 10 feet deep, about 10 feet wide, and it's full of mops and brooms and water heater stuff. And the hole in the floor is not a nice, tidy little hole that a door used to be over, you know, like a hatch or anything. No, this looks like a hole that Superman made when he was battling a supervillain, and they crashed through the ceiling, through the second floor, through the first floor, and into this closet, hitting the concrete and making this jagged, round hole with a dirt bottom. That's what I'm talking about. So I think, ooh, perfect, perfect. A hole. That's even better than a central location. We could all, you know, whoever can't fit in the closet can get in the hole and we'll be safe. I decide to experiment to see if people could fit down that hole. Yeah, I'm brave too. Stupid or brave, I'm not sure what you would describe it as. But I get down into this hole. It's about 4.5 to 5 feet deep. It's got a dirt bottom, and the circumference of the hole is probably also about 5 to 6 feet wide, something like that. And I'm not afraid. I mean, I'm more terrified of the stupid tornado that's going to take me to Oz that's coming down the highway. I don't care that it looks creepy and that, you know, I can't see what's around me. And I get into the hole, and I sit there. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I could get so-and-so in here. They would get in here with me. Yeah, how could I? And all of a sudden, the hair on my arms and my neck stood up on end. I wasn't even thinking, oh, this is creepy. Oh, no, and it gets cold down there. And I feel the overwhelming sensation that there is something down there with me, and it wants me to get the hell out. And I was all too eager to oblige. I bounded. I don't know. Like I said, it was a deep hole. And I shot out of the hole onto the concrete. And I don't remember how I got up the stairs, but I'm pretty sure I flew like a flying monkey up the stairs. And I was like, that's my version, my imitation of how I probably sounded when I recounted the story to my office mates. And they were like, oh, you didn't know? The building is haunted. You chose this moment to tell me that it's haunted. Why did you choose this moment to tell me, oh, yeah, now I won't come up here at night. These things happened to me and blah, blah, blah. I don't remember what those things were, but they were enough to make the hair on my neck and my arms stand up again. So, yeah, that's my story. I don't know if anyone died in that fire. I've tried to look it up online. There's no information about it. There's all kinds of information about the Coca-Cola bottling plant and that it was destroyed by fire, but it doesn't say anything about any deaths. Maybe there wasn't a death. Maybe it's just a creepy hole in the ground, and those electrical boxes above me created a magnetic field that, I don't know, my brain was affected by it, and I went into fight or flight mode because of those electrical whatever's in the air affecting me. I don't know what it was. I'm skeptical. I'm not going to automatically believe that it was a ghost, but that's the closest thing I've ever felt to the paranormal in that way. I have other stories I will tell you in this episode that aren't ghost related. I've had premonitions that have come true, and I've also had a dream that I will tell you about. So I am now passing the stick to the next storyteller. Kind of like one does at a camp out when you're telling ghost stories around a fire, and then you're like, the person holding the stick is the storyteller and has the crown. So I'm now passing the baton to the next person.
Hi, it's me, Stephanie, again. I'm excited to share another scary story with you. I don't know if the ghost just followed me in my lifetime or what, but now, as an adult, The story goes that I was working at a bed and breakfast. And this particular bed and breakfast was brand new built. It's not old. It wasn't antique. It was nothing unique about being its age. It was relatively new. And the property it was on was very old. And in fact, the story goes, when it was being built, one of the old ranchers in the neighborhood came to the property to see what was going on and ended up talking to the neighbor. And he said, well, just be wary of the woman in white. And have you seen her? And the owner was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, the story goes that this property in New Braunfels was once a big ranch, and the owner's daughter in the back of a wagon on the way to her wedding, the wagon flipped over and she died. And so to this day, when the fog rolls over in the valleys, it's possible to see the woman in white in the back of a wagon. And he asked the owner that. And the owner said, no, I haven't seen anything like that. And that's an interesting story. And that was when it was being built. And here it is, you know, 10 years ago, 10 years later, no big deal. I live in this bed and breakfast. I'm helping manage it, take care of it. And so part of that is I have a place, a little small, little loft room where I reside every night. Well, when you work in the same place for a decade or so, and when you work for many, many years and you sleep there, you know the sounds of that building, that house that you live in. You know the creaks, the groans, the moans. Well, this particular bed and breakfast is a true story bed and breakfast, and my loft would have been like the third story. So you'd come in to my room. The ladder that went to the loft was not attached to the wall. So when I would climb up the ladder, it would kind of go bang, 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 bang. And it was very safe. It was carpeted. It wasn't going to slide out or anything like that. My bed was in the loft, my living area, the bathroom downstairs. Well, in the bed and breakfast on the other side of the wall, my living area was the main staircase. And it would go up to guest rooms upstairs, and there were guest rooms downstairs. And I could hear when guests would come back sometimes. You'd hear them go up to the stairs into the room. The door would close. I could hear when there were doors downstairs were slammed, you know. And it was just something that you would hear those sounds, the very familiar sounds, and you'd know. You'd kind of get an idea who was coming and going, if there was a need, you know, the guest, if they needed ice. At 1 o'clock in the morning, I would help. So it's one night. It's a long night, and we'd had a lot of guests coming in late. So I go to bed. I'm tired. And I know that sometimes the owner would come around, and he would double-check that all the doors were locked and that everything was safe. So he would lock up and sometimes double-check everything was safe in the building and on the property. So it's a long night, and he had been working late. I'd been working late. I'm going to bed. Okay, I'll see you later. Good night. And I hear him walking around, and I hear him walk up the main staircase to the second story, and then I hear rummaging around, checking. And then sometimes, if something had gone wrong or he had a question, he would come and he would knock on my door. And so I hear the footsteps come up the stairs to my loft. I hear the knock on the door. I hear no knock on the door. It just opened. Hello. I sit up in bed. Hello? Because I'm asleep. I'm not awake. I'm not welcoming guests. But I hear the door open and close. And I can't figure out what would have happened because I'm the only one with the key. And I hear the sound of that ladder at the foot of my loft, 10 feet away from the foot of my bed. Bang, bang, bang. As I hear the steps coming up the ladder. I'm alarmed now. No one is in my room without my permission. No one's definitely coming up to my bedroom when I'm trying to sleep. I hear the footsteps come at least halfway up the ladder. I sit up, I turn on the light, and there's no one there. There's no one there. I turn on all the lights. I go downstairs. The door to my area is locked, deadbolt locked. There's no one there. I go down into the bed and breakfast to the common areas to check. Was there a guest? Did I forget to lock a door? It's locked. Everyone's safe. Everyone's asleep. Except me. The next day, at the bed and breakfast, the owner came by, and I asked him, I said, did you stay later after I'd gone to bed? And he said, no, I left pretty much after you did. So to this day, I think the woman in white wanted to know who'd been keeping track of her weddings and her walks on that property. And who else might be sleeping on a regular basis near her wedding place?
Stephanie, you have some splaining to do, because I am fairly certain that this bed and breakfast you're talking about, this is the one that I stayed in with Dave and all of our friends during one of your parties. I was alone in one of those rooms. I gotta say, something happened in there that was a little creepy. There was a bad vibe in that room. Also, the doll? Your mom kept the doll? Please don't tell me that this doll is in the bed and breakfast, too. I don't think I could deal with that. Why would your mom keep the doll? Why? Creepy. Like, has she not watched the Friday the 13th TV series? Okay, so now I gotta tell my story. Here's my story about the dream I had that seemed like a message from the beyond. A message from my great-grandfather, who I was very close to, that I'm certain is in heaven right now. Okay, a little more background. Probably 18 years ago? 19 years ago? I know, I'm old. My husband and I bought the house that we currently live in, and we needed a washer and dryer, so we purchased the washer and dryer that we currently have right now, Kenmore, get one. They last forever, even after the things that happened to them. And we were taking them home from Austin, where we bought them, to our town that's south of Austin. And Dave is really good at knowing how to use tie-down straps and doing all that stuff. But we didn't pack them because we weren't sure we were going to buy anything when we went there. We were just browsing, and the salesman was super good and he talked us into it. So we bought a washer and dryer, and they were in these big giant cardboard boxes and they put them in the back of his Toyota pickup and used this twine to tie them down, which we thought was really sketchy, but we didn't have an option because we didn't have tie down straps. And I don't know why. I guess we were young and stupid and didn't think about, I don't know, buying some because it was Sears. So we just took off with these big giant boxes in the back of his truck tied down with silly string. So we're going down 35, IH-35, south, and we go through and go to an area where a crosswind sucks the dryer straight out of the back of the truck. And the dryer lands flat on its side in the middle of the traffic on 35. We didn't have a lot of money, and we weren't about to leave the dryer in the middle of the road where people could hit it and we could lose our investment. So Dave slams on the brakes, goes to the side of the road. As he's doing it, an 18-wheeler that was coming onto the highway from on an entrance ramp narrowly misses us by slamming on his brakes, hitting the jig brake. As David is getting out of the truck in traffic to get this dryer that's spinning in the middle of the highway, he's dodging traffic. He goes and he picks it up. And I guess adrenaline gave him super strength because he picks it up and carries it back to the side of the highway where I'm waiting in the pickup, like biting my nails and holding my breath and going, what is he doing? Oh, it's just a dryer. Leave it there. And so he makes it, puts it back in the truck. Well, we go home. This is where the supernatural experience that I have comes into play. Later that evening, we go to sleep. I have a dream. And it was one of those really vivid dreams. I was a child on my family farm, and we had this dirt road that goes about 200 yards from a gate through a pasture up to our house, but it makes this big loop, and then it joins back up with itself. And that was for my dad, who had an 18-wheeler that he would pull around, and that way he could get out without having to back out or turn around. Well, in my dream, I dreamed about that my great-grandfather, who I was very close to when I was little, who passed away when I was about 10 years old, he came to the house in an old pickup truck, like a Chevy or a Ford pickup from maybe the late 40s, early 50s, the kind with the rounded fenders and the rounded cab and the big circular-shaped headlights. And he came around the bend and stopped in front of my house. And I was so excited to see him because I miss him. Like, I really miss my granddad. And I went running out to him, and I jumped onto the side on the running boards of the pickup truck. And inside of the cab, I see my great-grandmother, who died when I was a baby. And I saw her plain as day sitting next to him, smiling at me. My granddad's daughter, my Nana, always tells me that I look just like her. And I've seen pictures of her, but it was just like I was meeting her for the first time in this dream. And I'll never forget the sound of his voice when he would see us. He would go, "Hey," and he'd get down on his knee, and we'd all run over and give him a big old hug. Well, he did that in the dream when he saw me. And he said, "I want to introduce you to someone. This is your mama." And I said, "I want to go with you." And he said, "Not yet. You're not ready, but I'll be back." And that was the end of the dream. Hopefully, when I'm old, like ancient, when I pass away in my sleep peacefully with all my family around me, my granddad will come with my mama and pick me up in that truck and take me home to heaven. Anyway, that's my supernatural dream. My husband had one very similar to that. It was a little more supernatural than mine. His grandmother was in a hospital. She was passing away. I think we had seen her that day, and she was not doing good. And that night, he had a dream that he was looking for her in this big building, and he was frantically looking for her, going door to door, searching for her. And he finally found her in an elevator. And he went to go in, and she gave him a big hug and a kiss. And she said, "I love you. I'm proud of you." Something to that effect. And she said, "I will see you again one day." And the doors closed, and she disappeared. Well, that morning when he woke up, we got a phone call that she had passed away. And his mom was really upset about it. And he told her about that dream. And she asked him what time, you know, if he had woke up and seen the clock after he had had that dream. And he did. And he told her what time it was. And when he had that dream was when she passed away. Pretty cool, huh? That's my dream stories. I have others that I think I'll just save for another episode. If you like this episode, please email me and let me know. And we'll talk to some more people and get some more stories and do another show like this. Okay, so my final story for this episode has to do with what I believe was a guardian angel helping me out. Call it what you will, I believe in angels and in God, and so that's my explanation for it, but here's the story. I loved climbing trees. I played with boys. I played football. I was the only girl in my elementary school who was allowed to play with the boys because my dad wrote a letter giving me permission, because there was a rule, a stupid rule at our elementary school that prevented girls from playing with the boys because they might get hurt. But I played football, and I was the quarterback princess, and I was dang good at it. Back to the story. I loved climbing trees. We have oak trees. Like, some of them are probably over 1,000 years old. They're very, very broad at the base and pretty tall. There was a big oak tree on my Nana's property that I loved to climb. and on this particular day, I was by myself. It was always my goal to see if I could get to the top, like the very tippy top of the tree. And I made it. I don't remember how I fell, but I did, from the top of this tree. I was falling feet first. And right before my little kid body, which was probably about 6 years old, hit the ground, my hands met a limb, and I was able to grasp it 3 or 4 feet from the ground when I grabbed that limb. The force should have kept me from doing that. Maybe my hands would have touched it, but there's no way the strength of my hands could have kept me from, you know, hitting the ground at that point. Not only did I grab hold of the limb and pulled myself on top of the limb and was so excited that I did this, that I did a little flip off of the limb. Like, oh yeah, that's right, that's right. Nobody was around to see it, but I was doing my end zone dance kind of thing. I'm sure that really entertained whatever saved me from hitting the ground, but there's no way I could have saved myself falling from that height. Anyway, that's my final story. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Anomaly. It's kind of different from what we usually do, but it's fun to tell ghost stories and supernatural stories. I have never seen a UFO. I hope I never do, but I'd love to hear those kind of stories too. If you've ever seen one, if you've ever seen a ghost, or it's never too late to send us stuff like that. We'll fit it into a listener feedback episode and comment on it. So send your feedback to girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. You can also call our voicemail line at 432-363-4742. It gives you about 3 minutes before it cuts off. That's Google Voice. That's their doing, not ours. But if it does that, just call back and we'll splice the two messages together, no problem. Angela and I will be back in November, which starts tomorrow. I don't know that we'll be back the first or second week, but probably by the end of November for sure. Make sure you check out the show notes for this episode by visiting anomalypodcast.com and searching for Halloween 2016. I will put the ghost hunting video that Rick Moyer produced for Kix 95.3 in the show notes. Thank you to them for allowing us to take clips and add them to this podcast episode and share their video on our show notes. They're in Aberdeen, Washington, but you can find them online at kix953.com. This episode of Anomaly uses music from Bandcamp. Date with Death by Hussalonia was used in the intro, and I'm hoping to play Wiggle Your Tendrils with permission from the Wiggly Tendrils. They are both some of my favorite indie bands that you can find at bandcamp.com. You can find direct links to both of them again in the show notes for this episode at anomalypodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening and staying subscribed. Please share us with your friends, and happy Halloween, everybody. Bye.
Ghouls, put on your boots and jewels, Jim Tan, and then get highlights with the Wolfman. Now TW, we don't mean to trouble you, but the graveyard started shifting towards the bar and the W. The Argus lent the Cyclops his eyelash pencil, and then they wiggled their tendrils.
Lift your limbs
and wiggle your tendrils.
Haunting you.